The Real Fitness Podcast, episode 014. Fitness made me fat. Real talk. Hearing that, I know some of you are going to be screaming like the Minions.
What?
Or maybe like that guy in the Allstate commercial. You know the one I'm talking about?
I'm here to steal your car because, well, that's my job.
What?
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 It happens.
Yes, it is so true. These things happen. You can actually be a fitness junkie and still get fat. Now, some of you might have been working out for a while and you say to yourself that you have tried everything out there, but you don't seem to be making progress. You don't seem to be getting the results that you expect to be getting based on the work that you get to put in, based on the concentration that you get to give towards your lifestyle, your fitness lifestyle, and that might just be driving you crazy. Look, it happens. And for some of you who might think to yourself, well, I think I'm good, I'm working out, I'm getting the results I want, that's fine. But I believe that there are many people, like I used to be, who, in spite of all the effort they get to put in, they still are probably fat, not losing weight, or not losing fat, and probably very weak, not having energy all day, and probably still sick, unhealthy. I mean, just not getting the results they're supposed to be getting from living an optimal life. That might be you. It used to be me. It's been me a couple times. And today on the show, I will talk about it, even though no one talks about it this way. But really, sometimes fitness, a fixation on fitness really could be counterproductive, because for me, it got me fat. But before I get to that, I want to read the Apple Podcast review of the week. This is the first time I'm doing it, and I hope to continue doing it from this show onward. So at the start of the show, I'm going to read one of the reviews from people who are just sending me reviews on Apple Podcasts, and I really appreciate you all. I thank you guys, and please keep the reviews coming in, and you just might hear your name and your review on the podcast. But for now, I'm going to start out reading from all the reviews that I have. I'm going to start from the very first one. Hopefully, before I run through all the reviews that I have now, I would have so much that I'm going to start saying to myself, which one am I going to pick up today? I want to have that kind of problem. That's a good one. But for now, I'm just going to start from the very first review and build it up that way. So every episode, I think I have enough now to last me for a month. But guys, please send in your reviews. I really love the text messages you send to me. I love your comments on Instagram. When you're telling me how the show helped you, it goes a long way. But it's going to help a lot more people, not just me now, but a lot more people when you leave these reviews on Apple Podcasts, and someone who's searching through, you know, just looking for something to help them and they get to my show. Many people just go straight to the reviews and want to find out what other people are saying about the show to help them decide if to listen or not. Many times, as much as I try to craft my topics in ways that they can be captivating, these topics are just not enough. Other people, other listeners want to hear from you, a co-listener. So they just go straight to the reviews and look for what other people are saying, or they go straight to the ratings. Yeah, besides the fact that it helps the visibility of the show, other listeners are also counting on what you have to say, your experience, to decide if to go ahead and listen or not. So just take that text message you just sent to me, the way you sent it, it doesn't have to be polished, and just, you know, post it up there on the review page. And if you like, you can actually edit the way you want your name to appear, so it doesn't appear like the way everyone's gonna know you. If you want to remain anonymous, that's cool, but just leave me a review. I can't do that for you. I can't take your text and just write it as a review. But please, guys, leave me that review, and it's going to go a long way to help me, help the show, and help many other people who are trying to get blessed by what has blessed you. All right, let's get to it right now. The iTunes review of the week. This is the Apple Podcast review of the week. This one is from Akon Berries, and it says, "The stories are easy to follow, and the characters are well portrayed." Big shout out, Akon Berries. Thank you so much for that review. I really appreciate it. Now, full disclosure, the very first review before that of Akon Berries was mine. You're going to see my name on it. So I didn't have to read my own review of my own podcast. But yeah, the very next review I got was from Akon Berries. That was the very first review on the show. I really want to thank you, Akon Berries. Big shout out. I mean, for being there even when no one even knows anything about me, or probably even knows my name, not yet a household name. I really appreciate you. And for all the others in that order, I'll keep reading them one per show, and hopefully I want to have the good problem of sieving through reviews to just pick out the best for the week. But thank you guys, I really appreciate everyone, and I read every single review. And I know that some reviews come from outside this region, so I would also keep going through all the regions to see all the reviews that are coming in. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. So 2 weeks ago, I released my 12th episode of this podcast. It was titled, "Yo, Real Talk, All We Can Do Is Our Best." And there I talked a little bit about how to say the gracious and graceful no. And this question came into me from a friend of mine, and she says, "What if the person you're trying to say no to keeps giving you reasons why you should still do what they're asking? Like, they're not really respecting your no because they're used to getting a yes from you." Now, while this might seem like very straightforward, like, who gives a hoot? You know, call their effing bluff. If they don't care about you, if they don't respect their no, then don't respect them. You know, who cares what they think or feel? Just tell them no and move on. It seems like what should require a very straightforward response. But the honest truth is, for real, this is pretty dicey, especially when the person you're dealing with is someone you respect, someone you honor, someone that is in a superior position to you, maybe a boss, you know, a mentor, a friend, a father, a parent. And the phrase or the concept that I feel like is very, very operative here is the fact that they are used to receiving a yes from you. We're all creatures of habit. Now, when we're used to receiving that yes from you, when the no comes, many times we just can't understand why now you are saying no. All of a sudden, people would push back. People are going to try to either unconsciously manipulate you to eventually still say yes. You know, they're used to getting these favors from you. But all of a sudden, you've created space for yourself. You've created space to help you reach your goal, because you don't want to get to September and realize that the New Year resolutions you wrote in January, you haven't checked anything off your list. So now you want to work doubly hard. You want to make sure that you're able to achieve, if not all, but most of your goals. At least you want to be on track. You want to help yourself. You want to become a better person. You want to do most of the things you said you want to do. Create more time to go to the gym. Create more time to cook your own meals. Eat better. Laugh louder. Love harder. Whatever those things are that you've set to yourself that you want to do to help you become a better person, to help you live a healthier lifestyle. You know, the whole rat race of life has probably choked you to the point that you never thought about your goals. And maybe I reminded you during that episode, and now you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to say no to many things. I will create more space for myself, and I will create more time for me to be able to achieve my goals. And people who are used to hearing yes from you now just can't deal with it. So here's what you do. I'm never going to tell you to disrespect people that you honor, because relationships are very important for you wherever you're going to. They might not be important now, but they will be eventually, although not all relationships, I know that. But you don't have to be disrespectful. All you need to do is to make sure you tell them why. Make sure you give them your reason. Hey, I'm studying for my finals. Hey, the truth is I have a lot more on my schedule right now. The time when I used to do this, maybe walk your dog, I now have to go to the gym, and it's really important for me to keep up the habit. Now, when you tell them whatever your reason is and they try to dismiss it, they might be doing this unconsciously, so don't take it out on them. One of the things I do is try to bring your consciousness to what we're saying. And I say something like, we're talking about my health here, or we're talking about my career here, or, you know, we're talking about my well-being, or, you know, I'm talking about XYZ. Make them know how important it is, because they probably haven't realized it. They are still fixated on what they want you to do. So they're probably not even listening to you. They're just going to wait for you to give your excuse to them. That's what it is, an excuse. And then they'll just, you know, shoot back, trying to insist and make you do what it is they want you to do. So bring their consciousness to what you're saying. Hey, we're talking about my life. What usually follows after this is a pause, because she's like, huh, what did he just say, or what did she just say? Now, one of the first points I talked about when saying no is to be prepared. So get ready to jump back immediately after the pause. So for me, I just jump back in and I try to make you know that it's only for just a while. I just immediately try to separate what I'm saying no to from you, the person, you know. I love you still. You mean this much to me. I'm just saying no to the task at this time. And how to take it afterwards, it's up to them. But you know, you do your part respectfully and honorably and move on. And one last thing I'm going to say about this is, sometimes what gets people really upset with you when you say no to them is what you said yes to. You remember the time that that guy broke up with you? Or that girl broke up with you, and initially it seemed okay, but then you started stalking them and you were checking them out on your Instagram page or your Facebook page, just scrolling to see how they are doing, if they're doing badly or if they're doing well without you. And for a while it's okay. Many times we actually feel good if they're doing worse off without us. If they're doing badly, it makes us feel good, kind of. It's evil, I know. We're all evil. Or rather, we all got some evil in us. What gets to piss people off the most is when you see them doing well without you, with somebody else, and then you look at the girl he left you for, then that drives you nuts. Like, can you imagine? Look at who he left me for, or who she left me for. This guy isn't even as cute as I am. He doesn't even have big biceps like me. Like, he's even poor and wretched. What did she see in him? We get more ticked off when we see what the opportunity cost or what the alternative was for us. So sometimes when you say no to people, they might feel upset initially, but when they see that what you said no to them for was something beneficial, both for you and for them, wasn't something selfish, it was, you know, for a good cause, your school, your health, your life, your goals, your prosperity, you know, at the end of the day, and when they see your results, they will be happy for you eventually. So get over that initial emotion. They're going to feel mad. They'll feel bad. It's okay. Get over it. Just make sure that in your heart, your conscience is clear. You're not saying no to them as a person. Or you're just saying no to the request. That's all. Move on. Keep the relationship. They might not respond favorably. Fine. But when they see your progress, when they see your light shine, they would love you and they would eventually come back to you and be happy for you, because that's just what we do as humans. Yeah. So let your light shine. Do you and shine. This is the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Arise and shine. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to your radiance. It is so true. they will eventually come once you shine. Okay, guys, so I hope that helps someone out there. Now, how did fitness get me fat? One of the things I'm trying to do, if you notice, I'm a little slower today. That's because some people think I, you know, talk very fast. Well, I also think so because sometimes when I play back my episodes, I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm about to say, but I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going on 100 miles per hour. I'm just speeding through my thoughts, you know? And I'm like, gosh, you know, my pauses are not there. And I'm like, how do people really get what I'm saying? So I really thank you guys who've been listening to me and I've been trying hard to follow up with me and catch up with me. And for some of you, you know, that's just normal. I'm probably not fast, but I kind of felt like I might have been going, you know, very fast sometimes. And it happens when I'm very passionate, which I am. So I'm intentionally trying to stay a lot more paced. And I really hope that this is going to work just so that different kinds of people and people with different accents and different hearing styles and different kinds of people will be able to hear me and benefit from me, because what good is communication if you can't understand what it is I'm trying to say? So please bear with my pace, and I hope that this is going to be great, and I hope that this would actually be very suitable to your ears. It's one of the things I want to do. I really pray for that, Lord, I really want my voice to be soothing to people. I want it to be pleasant. I want people to want to hear me. I want them to want to listen to me. And I want them to want to follow me through. Because it's one thing to have something important to say. It's another thing for people to actually listen and hear what it is you have to say. So guys, thank you so much for everyone who listens to my episodes all the way to the end. I really appreciate it. I must have given you all a hard time trying to follow me and listen to me. But you stick with me to the end. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. And I'm doing my best to do better and improve. Yeah, back to what I was talking about. How did fitness get me fat? So this is how it all happened. I've been working out now for more than, I'll say 17 years or more. I've been into this healthy lifestyle thingy. I've always wanted to be fit. I've always liked the idea of being healthy. I think if you listen to the episode Perspectives 1.0, how do you see fitness? I think I talk a lot about how I started working out in that episode, and I'll leave a link to that episode in my show notes. But yeah, it's been over 17 years now. I had times when I fell off, and I had times when I got back on track. But getting to the United States, and I decided I wanted to go full steam, you know, in my pursuit of living a healthier lifestyle, in my pursuit of just being a lot more fit and know everything that the industry has to say and has to offer about fitness. But I got fixated. I got very, very fixated on the whole idea of nutrition and what to eat and what not to eat, how food could be very bad for you, how not everything that's edible is actually food. That's so true. And so what then gets to happen is that maybe one day I get to read about mushrooms, how nutritious mushrooms are, how they help your immune system. And I go to the farmer's market, I grab mushrooms. And then the next day I'm listening to another new research that talks about kale, how kale is a king of greens, king kale. I'm like, awesome. I grab kales. And then you get to hear about things like paleo, how paleo is this magical kind of, you know, nutrition style that a lot of people are into. I'm like, oh my gosh, so what I need to do to be paleo? So I grab a whole lot of paleo things. And then the next thing I hear about keto. I'm like, keto, wow. Sounds so great. This is because I'm fixated on the whole idea of nutrition. I really want to be the best that I can be, you know, and I'm trying out this and trying out that, and I'm going into keto. And the next thing you listen about, let's say what now, protein shakes. And so I dive in, you know, and I want to get protein shakes. And for those of you who live a healthy life, you know that it's not cheap, especially here in the United States. Living a healthy life is not cheap. at all. It doesn't make sense to me though. I don't know why it's so expensive for me to try to live healthily, you know, but that's just what it is. I don't know why an apple that grows on a tree by itself, naturally, it grows on a tree and you went to the tree, you plucked the apple. You didn't do nothing. You didn't have to pay for electricity because nature, modern nature provided sunlight. You didn't have to pay for water. Modern nature provided the rain. You didn't have to pay for nada. Nothing. Modern nature did everything. All you did was to go pluck it, pick it up, and take it to your store. And that single apple goes for $1.50, maybe $2. Meanwhile, on the other hand, some fast food joints are paying for electricity and they have their burgers, which is supposed to be meat that someone has seasoned and has taken through the grill and has prepared it. And they have this burger itself on a bread. They have onions, tomatoes, and some dressings on it and another layer of bread on top of it. And it's going for 99 cents. And in spite of all the labor, it doesn't make sense to me. It's just the world that we're in. Living healthily, living a healthful life sometimes is very, very expensive. So this is me buying mushrooms, buying kale, buying protein shakes, buying the next new thing or the next big thing in nutrition because I really, really wanted to be healthy. I was fixated on this. I went out for the next fruits and all the different fruits. I mean, there were things that I've never heard of that I bought. My wife would just come home and she's always like, what's the new thing in the house now? Literally, I chased her out of the kitchen. I took over the kitchen. Well, the kitchen has been mine anyways. I know she's going to be like, what? But no, yeah, we have our own times and our moments. You know, I have the times when it's just me. I want to cook. And she has the times when she's like, you know what? I can't deal with all of this your nonsense. I've given you enough room. So can you get a heck out of my kitchen and go to your man cave? Because I've got work to do in the kitchen. So we have our moments. But she comes home and she wants to find out what next has this guy brought to the house. Sometimes I'm bringing things like camu camu. I'm bringing some kind of weird berries. I have so many nonsense that I've bought. Well, not nonsense. In their own right, they were very, very nutritious and very healthy. But what happens is what we all get to do is that we keep trying. We never give our bodies enough time to really adapt to whatever it is we're introducing to them and a new lifestyle. We keep going from pillar to post, trying new things now and then, which really isn't the way to go. So for me, I've tried keto diets, I've tried paleo diets, I've gone vegan. I've tried the whole no-carb thing or low-carb diets, different kinds of things. I've done all sorts of things and me introducing and reintroducing different things to my body really created an imbalance. And many times when I get home, my refrigerator is full of lots of healthy stuffs. But as you know, they begin to get bad. I get to trash them. I'm wasting money. And besides that, what really got at me and got me fat was the fixation on the food because at almost every point in time, I was eating. Even though I was eating things that were healthy, nutritious, but I was always eating here and eating there because I wanted to give my body what was right. And yesterday I gave them mushrooms because those were the in thing, helped my immune system. And yes, mushrooms are very good. I love them. But I ate them and because I opened my fridge and I'm seeing so many, I'm trying to eat so many and trying to find out so many things that I can eat to give my body nutrition. But the honest truth is your body can only process a certain amount of food or nutrients per time. No matter how much you stuff your body, it can only take and process certain amount per time. All the others are just going to go to waste or they will just be stored up as fat somewhere in your body. And the honest truth is that many good things can be bad for you. So me being very excessive in my approach to nutrition and health was really not good for me. And at the end of the day, I was even putting on more weight because I had more things in me. even though they were not junk in themselves, they were nutritious, but when your body processes them and cannot process more of them, it turns them to waste and they become junk in you. Sometimes you got to pass them out as feces. Sometimes it just starts up in you as junk. And this was not very good for me. I had an unhealthy relationship with food and it wasn't good. Even though it was good food, even though it was healthy, it just wasn't good for me. And I wasn't seeing the results that I wanted. I was working out and I was making a whole lot of mistakes working out too. But I was working out and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. And I said to myself, this is crazy. I don't know who works as hard as I do. I do everything right. I work out. I eat right. But what is going on? I'm adding pounds, more fat. This is crazy. So on this episode, I'm going to talk to you about a few things that I did to help my mindset and help develop a better, healthier relationship with my wellness. And in the coming episodes, maybe in the month of June, which is going to be like two episodes after this, I'm going to be talking about basic foundational principles, which we all can just, you know, take on foundational principles for exercises, foundational principles for food, foundational principles for rest, foundational principles for love. Yes, these are the four pillars for real fitness. But I believe that if we can get the foundational principles right, then all the other things that you get to find on Google are things that you can just, you know, use as building blocks over the foundational principles. The foundational principles I'm going to share with you, I'll try to make them as simple as possible, not trying to oversimplify the whole idea of wellness, but I'll try to break it down in easy bites that you can, you know, understand and actually practice, because I've struggled with these things. So much information out there on the internet and not knowing exactly how to sieve things, so much junk. So I'm going to try to make them simple, and if you do them, if you just practice them and then you build on them, you're going to be okay. Yeah, I'm going to title them probably foundational principles of rest for R, foundational principles for exercise for E, foundational principles for authentic food, which is for A, foundational principles for love, a relationship, which is for L. That's going to be for real fitness. And I'm very sure that if you put this together and you, you know, work with them, it's really going to be helpful for you. Of course, I can't exhaust all of them in just a 30 to 1 hour podcast episode, but I'll do my best to give you something qualitative and quantitative that you can work with, you know, and go on with. But for today, here are a few things that I did that I think that you too can do. Firstly, I had to let myself know that I am enough. I am good enough. It's not a competition with anybody. I'm doing well. I'm doing okay. And that is especially if you're actually trying to eat healthily and work out as effectively as you can. You might not be doing all things right, but so long as you're trying, just know that you're trying. Pat yourself on the back for that. So I had to tell myself that, hey, look, dude, you're trying. You're doing okay. So I had to look myself in the mirror and say, guy, you are enough. You're good. You're doing well. You can be better. But enough of all this madness. Enough of all this craze. I need to give myself time to find out what works for me. And what works for me might not be working for some other person on the internet whom I'm following. You know, my brother, same blood, my brother can eat a mountain of food and it's not just gonna show on him. Crazy. I wish I had his genes, you know. I wish I could just eat anything and still look as skinny as he does. My mom has had nightmares just trying to see how to help him gain fat or gain weight. It's crazy. At the time, she was giving him malt drinks every single day. She was going to give him eggs. Like, there was nothing my mom didn't try to make sure that my brother added more flesh. She tried everything. She prayed, she fasted, hoping that by not eating, all the food she didn't eat was going to go to him in some kind of spiritual transference, and he would then add some more weight. I don't know why, but she fasted, she prayed, she tithed, she did everything. She fed him, but that guy, he's just the way he is, man. So annoying. So annoying, because for me, all I need is a cup of water and I'm just going to blow up. Now, he's going to be looking at me like, oh man, I wish I had your biceps. I wish I had your body physique. And I'm looking at him like, oh my gosh, I wish I had what you have. So comparisons don't always work. Now, I can talk about this because I know him, he knows me. But the people I'm following on the internet, I probably do not know their stories. I don't know why they are the way that they are. I don't know how much hard work they get to put in, or maybe no work at all. I really can't tell. So I have to know me for me. I have to know what works for me. I have to know how my body works and be okay with it. Just be okay with it. Don't fight it. My body is not my enemy. My body is my friend. I can't be mad at it. I can't be mad at myself. It is my assets, my most prized assets. So I have to take care of it, and I have to know exactly how to nurture it so that it can work for me, so that it can help me be all that I want to be. Because what good is fitness? What good is you being healthy if you can't achieve your life goals? Don't forget, fitness is not an end in itself. Nutrition, working out, having a six pack, whatever it is, your goals or your fitness goals, it is not an end in itself. It is all useless if it cannot help you attain a better life, if it cannot help you live an optimal life, if it cannot help you love people more, be more productive, become even more wealthy and prosperous. If it can't do all that for you, then it's really of no good. It is useless in itself. I'm just telling you the truth as it is. So yeah, I have to know how to work my body for me to help me be all that I really want to be. For real, not lying to myself. So I had to tell myself, I'm okay. And it's all gonna be okay. Another thing I started doing was praying over my meal. And the idea was just about showing gratitude for the food. It wasn't necessarily that I would buy a burger or a sandwich or some fries and pray that, you know, by some spiritual magic, these fries would not become very nutritious to my body. It doesn't work that way. You know, no matter how long or how hard you pray over a burger, it's still going to be burger. Or nachos, it is still going to be nachos. It's still going to be very unhealthy for you. But the art of praying for me was a way of being grateful for what I had in front of me. Remember, I'm trying to build a healthy relationship with my food. And so I just give thanks for my food, pretty much. It's all I get to do. And I also try to enjoy my food. Normally, when I'm eating, sometimes I could eat and work. I could eat and study. But many times when I am in the process of building a healthy relationship with my food, I don't mix my eating time with any other strenuous chore like studying. No, I take my food, I leave my study table, I probably sit in front of the TV and watch a relaxing show or something while I eat. But the food is my main focus. I enjoy it. Every bite, you know, every muscle going to my mouth, I'm tasting every ingredient. Like, it's a healthy relationship, trust me. You know, food time is a time when I don't talk so much. Like, forget it. I'm not going to give you a response with food in my mouth. And I'm okay with a pause. So if you ask me a question and I'm eating, I'm okay with a pause. I'm going to wait till I'm done with what's in my mouth if I must answer you. But many times I try to concentrate on my food when I'm eating. Of course, sometimes eating is social, so you want to be able to talk over dinner. That's fine. But I'm not just going to talk with food in my mouth. It's just not me. I don't know. My mama taught me better. And it's one of the ways I get to build a healthy relationship with my food. Another thing I noticed I was doing was that whenever I made an unhealthy decision with my food, I try to correct it by making multiple good decisions. So I eat a sandwich today, and I'm like, oh no, dang it. And so I just want to stuff myself with all things nutritious. No, if you made a bad choice, it's okay. Just let it go. And don't try to undo that with many, many more nutritious food. No, just get back to your lifestyle and just keep living, you know, the way you always have. Don't try to undo it. Just let it go. Now, speaking about the social aspect of eating, many times when I go for parties or events and people know me to be this fitness guy, they're always looking into my plate. They want to know, what is Henry going to eat? What is it going to pick? And sometimes this made me very difficult with food because I became very picky. Now, no one is really going to spend all the money that is required to throw a healthy party or dinner for people. Now, if you're from where I am from, I'm from Nigeria originally, and when Nigerians throw parties, we don't do RSVPs. So you guys who live in the West, well, I do now too live in the West, but for all of you who are from the West, y'all do RSVPs. Nigerians don't do RSVPs. You just prepare for as many as possible. Well, that is in Nigeria. I know that a lot of Nigerians who live in a diaspora actually do the whole RSVP thing because it's very, very difficult. But culturally, we don't discriminate or stop people from coming for our events. Literally, I could be at home and my friend is going out for a wedding and he could just tell me, hey, you know, I'm going for a wedding. Let's go eat. And I'm just going to hop into the car with them without even knowing whose event it is I'm going for. And I'll just go there and be part of the whole celebration, laugh when I have to laugh, eat when I have to eat, and drink when I have to drink. This is what the Yoruba speaking part of Nigeria calls mogbo moya. Now, I don't have a literal English translation of that, but it's kind of like saying, you know, I heard the music, I need all the celebration going on here. And so I just kind of, you know, showed up. Kind of deal. I remember when my sister was getting ready for her wedding, I think the prince had just about 20 IVs, but they had to cook for about 600 people. That's what they were expecting. So the whole IVs and invitation and RSVPs are just formalities. It really doesn't work at all. It's just our thing. It's just our culture. That's just the way we are. We're special. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Now, I brought up all that to say that no one is really going to spend all the hundreds of thousands of, you know, naira, dollars, pounds, whatever it is you spend wherever you are, or Australian dollars, Canadian dollars, to feed everyone in some social events. So it's most likely going to be, you know, basic, and I'm not going to say unhealthy, but, you know, just standard food that I might not even eat on a good day. But when I go out there, I just try to make do with what's available. I look for what's the best that I can eat. You know, I have foundational principles. I want to make sure I'm eating food, you know, something that I can tell where it was planted. And that's part of some of the things that we're talking about when I talk about the foundational principles of authentic food. So I have foundational principles and I'm just going to eat what's best for me. It helps me not be very difficult. It helps me to, you know, flow and go with the flow when it comes to eating. So I might just take what's available to me and I might just take it in little bits and pieces. And that's going to be it. And when I'm going for an event, I prepare myself in advance. So I try, you know, to make sure my nutrition leading up to that is on point. I'm ready. I'm on point with my exercises so that that day of, you know, just being social is not going to really deter me so much. And when I get back, I'm ready, you know, to continue with my lifestyle. And speaking about the other aspects of social eating, people, you know, many times they engage you in these conversations that almost seems like they want to make you feel like their own, you know, nutritional style or pattern is better than yours. You know, sometimes I'm at a party and like this day I was there and there was this baby back ribs. I just couldn't resist. It was so, so juicy. It felt like it was calling my name, like my stage name. Henry again, come to me. Henry again, come to me. I'ma do you right, I will take care of you. It was so juicy and so good. I couldn't pass on it. So I went, got me some baby back ribs and got some asparagus to put on the side. It was a very high class event. And someone came to my side and was like, oh, don't eat red meat, you know, only eat chicken. And I looked at him and I'm like, yeah, good for you. And then another lady joins us and like, well, she eats only fish, you know, because it's rich in omega-3, high protein, and that's just what she eats. And these two guys, the guy and the lady, just went off talking about food. I am the one who's the fitness guy among three of us. I mean, for me, at least I talk a lot about this. I am well read. I've studied a lot about this. I am so vast in this. I practice this. This is just me. People come to me for talks and advice on this. But for them, it's not like it was their forte. For me, I just think the dinner table is not the best place to talk about food. We can talk about food when we're not eating. We can talk about nutrition when we're not eating. We should talk about this before we get to the dinner table. But when we are at a party and everyone is, you know, putting something on their plate and trying to eat, I don't think that's the best time to start trying to talk to people about the right way to eat or the right way not to eat. Or I don't think so, because it kind of ruined the whole essence. So don't let people get into your head and make you feel like what you're doing is not enough, because they're probably seeking affirmation of what they're doing themselves. You know, just believe in you. When I had that mindset and wasn't tossed around by every new article or blog on the internet, things really began to turn around for me. I began to see the results I really wanted, because it wasn't like there was anything wrong with the foods I was eating. It wasn't like there was anything wrong with, you know, working out a lot. Neither was anything wrong with me. It's just the mindset, really. It was just my approach. It was just the way I went into it and, you know, went all in and just got fixated on it. It almost became a compulsion, and that was what wasn't giving me the result. So don't forget, the result for you as an individual is the most important thing. It's not really what you're doing, even though those things are important, what you do, the choices you make, but you want to be able to get results for yourself. So let's have the right attitude and the right relationship with our body, with our food, with our workouts, with everything that we're doing. You need the right perspective, the right mindset, the right attitude. And many times these attitudes or these mindsets or these changes that I had to make for myself as far as my nutrition and my food is concerned, I believe they're things that you can actually introduce to other aspects of your life, other aspects of your fitness, just so that you can develop a healthy relationship with these things. And don't forget, you must be doing the foundational things. This is not supposed to be an excuse for you to just go ahead and eat junk, saying to yourself that, well, if I ate bad yesterday, I can't eliminate it with good today. So, you know what, let me just eat bad again today. It's not an excuse. This is just a better mindset for you to do the things that you're actually supposed to be doing, which is like eating clean. Okay, I'll just give you a few of the foundational principles, because I know that some of you are here already. So why wait till 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks for my next episode? So a few foundational principles that you can go with. When it comes to food, eat clean. When I say eat clean, make sure that what you're eating is food. I already said initially that not everything that's edible is food. So make sure that the food you're eating is in its most natural form. So some things that we eat don't even have a natural form because they're not even natural in the first place. You know, when I think about, let me see, cookies, for instance, I don't know what a natural form of cookies will really be because of the process that whatever they made a cookie out of has gone through. So same thing with chips. And when I look at certain chips, I'm like, is this actually potato? If it's potato, I want to eat potato or potato, whatever you call it. I want to eat potatoes in its most natural form. So how is it when it's grown? So when I see the potato, I want it to go through the most minimal processing possible. So I either get a grill, or I roast, or I boil. Those are little minimal processes to make it edible for me. So when I say eat clean, I'm saying eat your food in its most natural form. And even when you cook it, try not to overcook it. I'm saying this because where I come from, we get to overcook things a lot. Like we fry tomatoes till they go from bright red to dark red. Like when we fry tomatoes in Nigeria, it goes from its bright red color and it becomes like very, very, very dark red. We fry and we cook things and cook and overcook. But let it be in its most natural form. That way you're eating clean and that way you're preserving all the nutrients that are in it. Another thing you want to do, and this might just be the last thing I'll talk about with these principles, you want to understand that you might make a few errors here and there or a few wrong decisions, like, you know, going for a party and they don't have what you normally eat. So there's certain times when you would, you know, deviate or stumble into something that is not part of your repertoire or part of your preferred pantry of food. So you're eating something wrong. It's okay, but let that be 20% of the time only. 80% of the time, make sure you are on track. So this is like the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time, make sure you're eating clean, eating healthy, eating with all the nutrients and nutrition in mind, eating whole foods, authentic food, like food. And then 20% of the time should be, you know, when you get to eat those indulgent things, maybe an ice cream, maybe a donut. I mean, some of us, we can't even taste those things anymore, but that should only be 20% of the time, if it ever happens. 80% of the time, be good. Good to yourself and good to your body. So keep that 80-20 rule in mind. And when I say 80-20, I'm not talking about 80-20 every day. So you're eating something junk every day. No, 80-20 should be for your life as a whole. So it's not just about a day. If I'm saying to myself, 80% of the time today, I'm going to eat clean. And then 20% of the time, I would probably eat something that is unhealthy. If I have to do that 20% every day, it's not going to be healthy for me at all because it's going to become a habit. So it's not about 80-20 of every day. It's 80-20 of your life as a whole, which might mean like for a whole month, I'm good, you know, eating clean. And maybe 2 days in a month or 2 days in the next month or 2 meals in a day from the next month, you know, something like that. It's not 80-20 every day. So make sure you do your best to keep clean and eat as whole as possible. And then, you know, once in a while is when you probably get to indulge. I think with those two foundational principles of nutrition, you're going to be very, very good. And then if you apply all the attitudinal and mindset changes I talked about earlier on, you'll be very, very good. And you'll be able to develop a healthier relationship with food for yourself. Okay, guys, that's going to be all from me for today. I really hope you had a great time listening, and I hope that there was something that you could pick out from today's episode. I hope there's a lesson you could learn from my own story. I appreciate it. Please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or on my website, wherever it is you listen to this from, or share it with someone to whom you believe that this is going to be beneficial. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'll try to leave a link to every episode I referenced and some of the music that I used, secondary music in this episode. I'll try to leave links to all of them and even some of the things or people that I mentioned. I'll leave links to them in the show notes. The show notes are usually on my website, that is realfitness.tv, www.realfitness.tv. So go there, check it out, and get all the show notes and links. Our theme music was produced and composed by Eddie Wally Jr. That is the music that's playing underneath my voice right now. And the episode as a whole was produced and edited by yours truly, me. And I'll use this opportunity to shout out to anyone who might want to be interested in the production process for the podcasts, audio production, audio editing. Holler me, reach out to me on Instagram at Real Fitness Club. On Instagram at Real Fitness Club. Just let me know you're interested. Even if you just want to intern, yeah, we could work together. And I just want to be able to bless more people with more than just the content. Also, I want you to go through the process. If you're interested, hit me up, let me know, and you can be part of this great show. And like I like to end every episode, don't forget to rest your body, move your body, feed your body, and love somebody. I am your fitness and lifestyle coach, Henry Again. Bye for now.